Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this session on Zen4Sync, a SQL Server replication orchestration platform. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I guess we're kind of competing with nice weather, and our folks are preparing for the party. So are you going to the party tonight, yourself? So we'll see you there. So this is here Christophe Bigot. Christophe is working for Avanade in France. He's working as a senior analyst application developer. Christophe joins us today with two caps. First cap, as a former developer of Zen4Sync, he will present us with the architecture of Zen4Sync and explain us how Zen4Sync works. But also, he joins us as an employee of Avanade, who is one of our customers using Zen4Sync in the field. And in that context, Avanade is going to do some demonstration of Zen4Sync for us.
And let me introduce you to Jean-Yves Devant. Jean-Yves is a program manager in the SQL Server group at Microsoft Redmond. He's been part of Microsoft for about 15 years now, and he's been at Microsoft France for 10 years, helping customers with their replication. And a couple of years ago, he moved to Redmond into its new role of program manager. As a program manager there, he's in charge of the replication technologies and the high availability technologies, such as always on and database mirroring. And last but not least, he's one of the two Microsoft leaders that came up with the original idea of Zen4Sync, along with Pascal Bello.
Thank you. So this is our agenda for today. So we have a 75-minute session, so we are planning to have a 15-minute session for Q&A in the end. And so out of the 60 minutes that remains, we're planning to have about half of the time dedicated to demonstrations. So let's get started. So what is the story of Zen4Sync? Replication technologies have been in the SQL Server product for about 15 years. And during all those years, many teams within Microsoft worldwide have been helping customers implementing replication topologies. Customers have been using replication technologies for scenarios like read-write scale-out, distributed application, heterogeneous data movement, branch office scenarios, but also offline scenarios. Those offline scenarios are kind of the focus for us today. So even if you are not using replication in an offline scenario, we think there is value for us, for you, to attend this session on Zen4Sync, and you'll see that in a few moments. So those offline scenarios are scenarios where the users are in the field, and they are using devices like laptops, PDAs, smartphones, industrial devices. And because those users do not have a connection with the backend at all times, then you need to persist data locally on the device so the user can change the data on this device and exchange data back and forth with the server. Examples of those offline scenarios are Salesforce automation, automotive, medical applications, technical force automations, and delivery and shipping business. Speaking of delivery and shipping business, I know that many of you are purchasing things online and have those shipments delivered to your door. What do you think that happens when this guy delivers that parcel to you and you have to sign up for it in front of your door? This is it. Most of the time, this is merge replication which is being used. Merge replication between SQL Server in the back end and SQL Server Compact on the handheld device. This type of replication happens over a HTTPS connection on top of a 3G, 4G, or GPRS transport. Whatever major carrier you can think of, Microsoft is there. Over the years, there is one thing that I've realized when I've been working with all those customers devising replication architectures or advising on how to optimize replication. It's that the average size of the deployment is increasing in a very important manner. A couple years ago, we were seeing deployments of a couple hundreds of subscribers, but now we see deployments of a couple thousands, even tens of thousands of subscribers. And all those customers I'm talking to across the board, this is where their challenges are. Anticipating, verifying business objectives are met, and testing and simulating. So anticipating performances. Performances of what? Performances of the synchronization, for example. How much time it takes for a subscriber to connect and to exchange data with a server. Performances of your DML statements on the server. As you may know, for example, merge replication creates triggers on the source system so that we can track the activity that you're having on your system. And executing that additional logic implies that your insert, delete, and update statements are going to take some more time. Anticipating the impact of what? Again, it's anticipating the impact of the combination of replication and your applications. As we've discussed, merge replication creates triggers. So it is like it may happen that you end up in a situation where maybe you have interlocking situations or deadlock situations, and you may want to anticipate this and pre-react to this before you go into production. It's about anticipating the impact between your applications and replication. Replication is an application that sits on top of SQL Server, and as such, it interacts with the same resources. The same way you would like to anticipate how two of your own applications can live side by side, you may want to anticipate how a replication and your own application can live side by side before you go into production so that you can make adjustments. Anticipating the latency. The latency is the amount of time it takes for a change to go from the source to the destination on the replication topology. This latency can be a key element in your design and in your business. And you may want to anticipate what is this latency before you see that in real production scenario. Another type of challenge is about verifying the business objectives are met. So it's about, for example, checking if your data is correct. When you upload data from the subscriber, you may want to check if some specific field or column has the right value. So you may want to do some specific treatment to do that. Same thing with validating your business rules. Maybe you have a process in your enterprise where if you have a sales guy in the field who has uploaded an order, you may want to trigger some additional activity on your system, and you may want to check that this specific treatment is being fired after the synchronization. It's also trying to check what if your business processes are compatible with replication. As an illustration, I remember one of our customers who every Monday morning wanted to reinitialize his 2,000 subscribers, which were running on handheld devices. The reason being some internal process as a way they do their business, right? And this customer realized in real life, in production, that it's not going to happen. Why? Because the server they had could not sustain the load. Generating 2,000 snapshots and delivering them over GPRS 2,000 at a time, it's putting a lot of load on the system. So in that example, since the customer didn't want to invest into more powerful hardware, then they find some compromise and revisited the process they've had in place in their structure. But all this, you may want to do that before you go to production, because it's less painful and you have more flexibility to do adjustments and less pressure. Testing and simulating. You may want to test your business scenarios. You want to test that any activity that you have in your enterprise, well, the system that you put in place with replication is able to reach the goals that you want. And again, you want to do that before going to production. And last, but maybe not least, is how do you simulate thousands of subscribers? How do you simulate 2,000 devices, like handheld devices, without purchasing them? And even if you were purchasing them, how would you simulate those devices? So focusing on this is what is going to differentiate yourself in your business or as an IT pro. Whatever your business area is, you need to be able to do that. You know what your business objectives are, but do you know how you meet them right now? And that's the face of some folks out there thinking about those technologies. And you might be asking yourself those questions behind me. Let's have a look at them. If you are asking yourself those questions, then we have a solution for you. This solution is Zen4Sync. Zen4Sync stands for Zen for Synchronizations. It is a testing and simulation tool. It's not a product right now. It's not a commitment. It's not a product public announcement. Right now, it's an advanced prototype that we wanted to introduce to you. It's a replication orchestration platform that allows you to anticipate, demonstrate, and validate. Anticipate that your replication infrastructure is capable of interacting with your real enterprise backend. It's about demonstrating before you go into production that your replication architecture is able to scale to the level you're expecting. It's about validating that all your business rule processes can be honored with the implementation of replication as you plan to do it on top of your applications. Zen4Sync is about providing you the capability to do that before going into production and make adjustments, redesigns, really as you are in the development cycle. So what Zen4Sync can do? Basically, Zen4Sync is able to execute your business test scenarios in an automatic way. Zen4Sync is able to execute all your activities in a business scenarios. Business scenarios is any activity in your enterprise. A sales guy takes an order. You need to reassign what customers are going to be serviced by what salesperson, this kind of thing. And all those scenarios are based on activities. An activity is kind of an atomic task. Those activities in Zen4Sync can be of several types. It can be transact SQL statements, any insert, delete, update that you would do in your application. It can be anything by which you want to verify the data. It's also executing MEF components here. MEF, M-E-F, stands for Manageability Extension Framework. It's a way by which, with one of our Microsoft technologies, in an application, you can embed the execution of any other application. Having this capacity in Zen4Sync opens the door for Zen4Sync to execute any other code or any other application which is not transact SQL statements. For example, through this capacity, we can imagine having Zen4Sync execute on your behalf its SSIS package. We can imagine Zen4Sync execute some activity on your SAP or other ERP system on your behalf, and then transfer massive amount of data between your ERP and the publisher for SQL Server, and then at the same time simulate the synchronization of thousands of subscribers. You cannot do that today, but maybe it's key you can see how your system would behave if you do that before going into production. Zen4Sync will allow you to do that. Because Zen4Sync allows you to simulate subscribers. Zen4Sync is able to, once you have created your subscriptions, Zen4Sync is able to trigger the synchronization of as many subscribers as you want. And you can coordinate them. You can configure Zen4Sync, for example, to trigger the synchronization of 2,000 of your subscribers at 4 p.m. today. And at 4 p.m. today, your system is going to spawn that many subscriptions, synchronizations, and you will be able to see how your system behaves. So right now, Zen4Sync can synchronize SQL Server Compact subscribers only. The reason being that for this, we wanted to reduce the scope of this prototype to something which will be immediately useful to people in the field, because we know that simulating SQL Server Compact on devices is one of the most challenging things to do. So right now, it services SQL C subscribers for merge replication. But we'll see that in the future it can be different in a very easy way. And we'll see that in a moment. So ZenForcing manages your test sessions. A test session is just an occurrence of a test scenario. A test scenario is a chain of atomic task activities, and each time you run a test scenario, it is a test session. So for each test session, ZenForcing would be able to expose statistics and reports on how the system behaved. For example, you could get duration of synchronization, this kind of thing. Also, ZenForcing allows you to store the details of the execution of this test session into its own repository. ZenForcing has an internal database in which we're going to keep all these. That means that if you have two test sessions, you've done a test session and you've not been convinced by the result and you change some parameters, you can run again this test session and you see the result. And then, because all of those information are stored in the database, you can compare the result between one test station and the other, so you can adjust several parameters, and then you'll have a broader view on what was the behavior of the system with this configuration, which helps you make the decision on how you should configure your system. So what ZenForcing cannot do? Think like a human. Propose a better architecture. Or automatically tune your configuration of replication. Your expertise is still required. You are still needed to come up and do propositions on how you should set up the system. We'll see in a few slides how you can do that. We'll have a few best practices that we're going to share to you. But the idea here is ZenForcing is to simulate your system in production and allow you to plug your knowledge of replication and your systems to better adapt the design of the overall solution. And do this before you go into production. That builds your confidence and the trust of your customers you may be working for. So what ZenForcing could do in the future? Basically, the way we built ZenForcing is very extensible, which means that today, although it synchronizes SQL C subscribers, it can easily synchronize regular merge subscribers or even subscribers for transactional replication. We have made the decision to reduce the scope of the prototype so that we have something which is more finite for you to go and use, but we have built it such a way that it will be easy to extend it. And this is where we'll need your support as well, and we'll mention that in a few moments. With that said, I would like to hand over to Christophe. Christophe is going to explain us how ZenForcing works and tell us about the architecture.
Thank you, Jean-Yves. So I will introduce you to both the software and the hardware architecture of ZenForcing. I'll start off with the software architecture, and I'll use a simplified ZenForcing data model so that you understand the key concepts we are dealing with here. So it'll start with a test session. A test session is what you run on your ZenForcing platform to validate your merge replication architecture. The sessions are composed of ZenForcing clients. These guys are typically the emulation of your subscribers. The clients run on test servers and they execute test scenarios. The test scenarios are a chaining of activity, and ZenForcing comes with several activity types. The first one, and the most obvious one, is merge synchronization. It allows a client to merge synchronize its local database against a main database. Second one here is SQL execution. SQL execution allows a ZenForcing client to execute SQL statements either against its local database or against a remote database. So for instance, insert or update statement. Third one is SQL data check. SQL data check allows a client to execute a select statement on its local database and to compare the value, the actual value of the select statement to an expected value. Fourth one, SQL C backup. Now you can tell your ZenForSync client to send a copy of its local SDF file back to the ZenForSync repository so that you can have a backup after a synchronization, for instance. And last but not least, trust me, is the MEF component. As I've said, MEF is a framework that allows an application to execute a DLL it discovers at runtime. What this means here is that we provide you a .NET interface, which is called iZenForSync MEF component, so a code interface. And what you can do is implement that interface with one class, and the resulting DLL of that implementation, you can put it into ZenForSync and execute it as part of a test scenario. I want to emphasize that this makes the possibilities of ZenForSync endless, because you put your code into ZenForSync. It's no longer an insert or an update. It can be some library you're using into your enterprise. So you just implement the interface, put the DLL into the system, and use it as part of test scenarios. Moving on to the hardware architecture. First of all, don't get scared. You don't need that much machine to run ZenForSync. If you're testing a simple merge replication architecture, one physical machine will do. On the other hand, if you're testing a huge merge replication topology, you can deploy ZenForSync across a huge number of machines, as much as you need. That said, let's take a look at the components. So remember the colors, because I use them throughout all the demo, so it can be a hint for you on what's going on. First of all is the ZenForSync repository. ZenForSync repository is the database ZenForSync uses to store its own data it needs in order to work. The only component that talks directly to the repository is what we call an orchestrator, the blue guy here. The orchestrator is basically the chief of operation here. It's responsible for starting the test sessions. When it starts the test session, it calls a test server, the green guy. So it makes a WCF call to the test server and say, hey, I got work for you. Here is the work you have to do. To do that work, the test server instantiates clients, the purple ones. It instantiates them as Windows processes. So if you emulate 5 clients, you'll have 5 Windows processes on the test server. And the clients, what they do? Well, they just execute the work they've been assigned by the test scenario. So here comes your part of the architecture. The clients interact with your part, the black box here. So this can be a development server, like the architecture you want to go to production with, but you need to test, so that would be the black box, or a production environment or an integration environment. So it's your part, the clients will attack. I'll go a little bit more in depth about each component. So coming back to the orchestrator, so as I told you, it's the only one that uses directly the ZenForSync repository database, and it's responsible for starting the test sessions through WCF calls again. The second responsibility it has is logging the execution of tests. Because when clients run, they not only run the activities they've been assigned, they report, they give some feedback to the orchestrator. This is some key point of ZenForSync, because this allows us to compute statistics on the execution of your test sessions. For instance, the average execution time of a synchronization when there's 10 simultaneous synchronizations. So start test session, log the execution of tests. It comes as a Windows service you have to install on the machine, and you can install as many of them as you need on the ZenForSync architecture. Moving on to the test server, the green one. So its main job is to wait for a call from the orchestrator, and it receives work from that call, and then it starts the clients that will execute the actual work. Again, it's a Windows service you install on the machine, and you can install as many of them as you need on a ZenForSync architecture. Last one is the ZenForSync client. Its main role is to execute the activities that are part of the test scenario it's been assigned. And when, as as a As it executes the test scenario it's been assigned, I told you before, it sends feedback to the orchestrator, such as, okay, I'm starting that activity at 10 p.m. Okay, I'm done with the synchronization. It's now 10:01. So here is the feedback. It comes as a console application that is started by the test server in a dedicated Windows process. So to sum up, we have four main components: the orchestrator that talks to the repository that's responsible for starting the test sessions. When a test session is started, the test servers are called, and this guy instantiates the clients that will execute the work against your architecture.
And this architecture of your can be your test system, your pre-production system, these kind of things. We attach your production system, so whatever pre-validation system you may have. Thanks, Christoph. So right now, I would like to introduce Avanade. Avanade is one of our customers who is using ZenForcing out there in the field. So to do that, I'm going to ask Christoph to remove his cap of former developer of ZenForcing and get his cap of employee of Avanade on. And in that context, Christoph, on behalf of Avanade, is going to do some demonstration of ZenForcing for us.
Okay, so a couple of words about Avanade first. We are a service company. We are a joint venture between Microsoft and Accenture, created 12 years ago. Last year, we managed to generate more than $1 billion in revenue. And we are more than 15,000 professionals all over the world. We have one unique priority, which is our customers. We want to help them realize their results. To do this, we use exclusively Microsoft technologies. And on a side note, we are an amazing place to work with amazing people. As for ZenForSync, we used it on a project that involved a couple hundred of subscribers, and it was the occasion to send feedback to the ZenForSync platform. Okay, demo time. So I'll switch to, no, not now. Okay, first I'll quickly introduce you to the scenario of the first demonstration and then take you through the architecture of the demonstration. So first demonstration is about simultaneous synchronization of subscribers. We are imagining we want to test a merge replication architecture, and we want it to be able to handle 9 subscribers at the same time asking for data. That's what we're going to simulate today. To do this, here is the architecture we're going to use. So all of these are virtual machines. They will all be hosted on my laptop here, which is a pretty normal laptop for these days. On the ZenForcing side, the first machine we'll use is called TechEd Z4S1. It will act, again, see the little colors, blue, green. So it'll act as both an orchestrator, the chief of operation of our ZenForSync architecture, and as a test server. The second machine is TechEd Z4S2, and it will only act as a test server. So that's it for the ZenForSync side, two virtual machines. On the customer side, we have one machine here, the black box, that it's called TechEd Customer. And its role is basically to expose the Northwind database to merge replication. So we use Northwind database, the well-known database for the demonstration today. So it exposes it to merge replication through IIS. As far as software is concerned, everywhere we have SQL Server, we have SQL Server 2012. When we have SQL Server Compact, we'll use SQL Compact 3.5 SP2 Accumulate Update 6. Now, don't run away. This is just because it's the version that allows the SQL Compact clients to merge synchronize with SQL Server 2012. This is why we use it. Okay, so that's it for demo infrastructure. Three virtual machines, two on the ZenForSync side, one on the customer side. Moving on now to the demonstration scenario. So as I told you, what we want is to simulate 9 subscribers asking for data at the exact same time to our TechEd customer machine. So what we're going to do is that we're going to create the test session by using a SQL script. I'll show that to you later. So we'll create it inside ZenForSync repository, and then we'll start the test session. Ask the orchestrator to start the test session on ZenForSync 1. Then the orchestrator will call the test server that is on ZenForSync 1, and it will emulate 4 clients here. On the other hand, it will also call ZenForSync 2 because we want to have 2 test servers working at the same time. So it will call ZenForSync 2, and ZenForSync 2 will emulate 5 clients. So the total being 9 clients, and these guys are going to ask for a merge synchronization at the exact same time. So I'll just go through the demo steps because it's going to be rather quick, because as soon as I've created the test session, I will set up all the clients to wait 45 seconds before they ask for synchronization. Okay? So I'll just explain you in advance what's going to happen so that you're not going to get messed up by all these things going in 45 seconds. So first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create the test session using a SQL script. When this will be done, I will use a tool called ZenForSync Dashboard that will allow me to start the test session. With that tool, I will so start the test session. Then I will show you the virtual machines and show you the task managers of the virtual machines. Because as I told you, they start the clients in Windows processes. Okay? So hopefully we'll see 9 new processes waiting for the synchronization to begin. So this will be 2 virtual machines, the 2 ZForSync virtual machines. And then I'll show you the 3rd virtual machine, and I will launch the replication monitor here, a tool you may be familiar with that comes with SQL Server Management Studio. That will allow us to see if these guys are actually synchronizing at the exact same time. So hopefully we'll see in the replication monitor 9 synchronization going on at the same time. So create the test session with a SQL script, run it with a ZenForSync dashboard tool, see what's happening on the virtual machine so that you see that work is actually getting done, and then we'll analyze the test session. It's going to get run, so that's cool, and when it's done, we'll analyze the result using what ZenForSync report, which is an Excel add-in that's provided that comes with ZenForSync. So we'll connect to the repository and ask for details about how the session went. So this is when we'll have the statistics, the key value of ZenForSync. Before I create the test session with a SQL script, I will start the dashboard just one time to show you how it looks like, because again, it's going to be pretty quick since I only have 45 seconds. So this is what the dashboard looks like. It's pretty simple for now. I'll ask him to see, okay, here's all the test session. There's only one because I rehearsed it, and so it's already inserted in there, but that's not the one we're going to trigger, okay? It's just for the sake of the demonstration I can show you on actual data. So here we have the test session that we can run, and if I click it, I have details about all the clients, okay? So I don't want you to look carefully at what's happening here. I just want you to figure out how it works. So I'll click the test session, hit the play button, and it will start the test session. First of all, the SQL script. So that's the most painful part you have to deal when it comes to ZenForSync, but it's just SQL scripting, okay? So now what I want to do is create a test session that allows me to emulate 9 synchronization at the same time. So I will go with insert data in the tables provided by ZenForSync, and ZenForSync allows me to insert details about my IIS server, for instance, about my publisher, about my distributor, or my subscribers. I can provide the host name, because here we're dealing with filtered publication, okay? We use the name of the employees to synchronize, okay? Every one of the subscriber is going to get his orders, okay? I'll show you before I run the script the schema of the database. So the host name, the connection string, the SDF file name, a whole bunch of stuff we need to insert in order to parameterize our test session. So before I run that, I'll just go through the TechEd customer machine here and show you so that we all know what's happening, the Northwind database, if some of you are not that familiar with it. So it's pretty simple one. It features employees that are responsible for orders, and the orders are about products that belong to categories. And the employees are responsible for territories here. So again, pretty standard schema. And what we're going to do is, in the database, we have 9 employees. So each and every one of them is going to ask for its orders, OK? So showing you again that this is SQL Server 2012 here, the little 11. You can zoom in here. And the Northwind database. And the replication we have is here, Takehead Northwind employees. That's that one we're going to attack. This is the replication monitor for now. Synchronizing subscription. No one is synchronizing, of course. And this is where we're going to have the simultaneous synchronization showing up. OK, so now we're all set. I'm just going to show you in services on Takehead Z4S1. We have here Zenforsing Orchestrator Host, Test Server Host. So this guy is both an orchestrator and a test server again. On Z4S2, we have the same thing, except it's just a test server here. And here are the directories on Zenforsing 1 on the right-hand side and Zenforsing 2 on the left-hand side. These are empty for now, but this is where we want the SDF files to go, since a synchronization is going to happen. For processes, we have the test server, the orchestrator, and nothing more regarding Zenforsync. It's going to change in a second, hopefully. Same thing here, just the test server. OK, now we're ready to go. So I'll hit F5 on that script, and it will insert data into the repository, start the dashboard to start the test session, and show you what's happening in the virtual machines. So hit F5, start the dashboard. I see my new test session, which is just planned now and not completed. Start it. Go to Zenforsync 1. Now look at these guys. These are the Zenforsync clients. These are the emulation of our subscribers, OK? And they're just waiting for the go I've configured to start the synchronization. So there's just kind of a lot of things to watch here, but just watch the replication monitor. In about a couple of seconds, it's going to get full of synchronization. So if it flickers, I'm hitting F5 because I don't want you to miss it, and me neither. And again, the clients are not randomly starting. They're just waiting for the go. We'll see that in the dashboard later. There we go. Here are these guys all synchronizing. I've missed some of them, but you get the idea. As you see, like, some processes here are already gone, and just one left, and they're all gone. OK. So we had 9 synchronization at the exact same time. No more clients either on Zenforsync 1 or on Zenforsync 2. And if we look at our directory here, we have the 4 SDF files here and 5 SDF files here. So we were able to simultaneously synchronize 9 clients. Now it's 9 because the Northwind database has 9 employees, OK? But it could be way more. Now this is done. How do I know it's done? I mean, I won't stare at the processes all night long, right? It's not how it's going to happen. So I have 2 ways. The first way to figure it's gone is that it's done is to go through the dashboard. And see, here I have state completed. I know this test session is completed. If I click on it, I have the clients here. And what's interesting, this scheduled start date time. Here it's like, sorry, it's French format for now, but it says 3 p.m., OK? 3 p.m., 24, and 34 seconds. And this is the actual start. So you see, for all of these guys, maybe because the rounding of the milliseconds make it 2:35, but they all start at the exact same time. So this is a quick way to know that it's completed. And if it had some error, I would know it too. The second way, and we're getting to the key part of Zenforsync, is to start the Zenforsync report add-in. This new tab here, Zenforsync report, in Excel 2010, it works on Excel 2007 as well. So I can go here and give the server address of my orchestrator, log in, and connect. And after that, I'll generate report. So my orchestrator, again, is Zen4Sync 1. I'll log in and connect. Now it asks me to search for test sessions, because test sessions are ordered in categories. So here are tech ed sessions, and I'll hit search. I could use the name, but it's a good way to introduce you to categories. So this is the test session I just started, massive subscriber initializations, and I'll generate a report. It's asking me, are you sure? Sorry, I just double-clicked it. Are you sure you want to delete all the data? So I say, OK, delete the data. Now, here's our report. Two test servers involved, TechEd Z4S1, TechEd Z4S2, and report about what were executed. Here we have one test scenario, the scenario being synchronized. The synchronization was executed by 9 clients. And I want you to take a close look at this cell. This cell says when I have 9 subscribers synchronizing at the exact same time, it takes the average time of 10 seconds. This is the key value of Zen4Sync here. This allows you to take that number, put it in your pocket, go to your customer and say, look, you told me you wanted a virtual machine to host the replication. It's going to take 10 seconds when we go live on production Monday morning if we go with that configuration. Is that okay for you? If it is, fine. If it's not, we'll have to invest in some servers or see the configuration, have some updates, okay? This is the key value of Zen4Sync. This will make you look like someone who knows what he does because he tested the architecture before deploying it. Another tab here is errors. If some of the clients were in error because of some network error or whatever happens with synchronization, you would see here an error, a description of the error. I don't want to save that. Okay, back to the PowerPoint. So that's what we did. We created a test session to simulate a whole bunch of subscribers at the exact same time. We ran it, see if it went well or not, and analyze the results. Now what we want to do, we're synchronized, we want to simulate some business activity, okay? We want to simulate it both at the server side of the customer, so the server of your customer, and at the client side, that means to the local SDF files. So what we're going to do here is that we're going to use Zen4Sync to simulate the activity on both of those sides. The first side, we're going to instantiate a client that is going to execute a stored procedure that is found on TechEd customer. So here the client that is instantiated is not a subscriber, okay? It's not going to ask for synchronization. It's just going to go for an exec stored procedure that is stored remotely on the TechEd customer. What this stored procedure does is that it reaffects the territory to the employees. Okay, so let's say I'm responsible for Paris now, and after the execution of the stored procedure, I'll be responsible for Seattle, because that session went really well, and now I'm in Seattle. So this is the stored procedure that's going to happen. This is to simulate business activity at the server side. On the other hand, we'll instantiate 4 clients, the 4 that synchronized on Zen4Sync 1, and we'll ask them to perform an insert on their local database. Okay, so each of the 4 clients is going to have one more insert, one more order into its orders table. Again, the steps are going to be the same. I'm going to use a SQL script to create the test session. I'm going to use the dashboard to start the test session. And I'm going to use the Excel add-in to analyze how it went. Before I do that, and to show you there's no magic here and no tricks, I'm going to take one of the SDF files from Zen4Sync 1, and I'm going to copy-paste it to my physical machine so that I can run some select on it and see what's in there. Okay? So it's Davolio. I'm taking Davolio here and pasting it. What I want to do is I want to see how the the territories are for now and what's the order count for now. So what I have here is just simple select statement that will tell me what Nancy, we'll see what Nancy is responsible for in terms of territory, and we'll see the orders count. I'll execute that query against the Northwind database first to see what's the data, what the data is on the main server, and after I'll execute the exact same query on the SDF file I just pasted. So I'll just run it. See here, go to Nancy. Nancy, because the Davolio SDF file is Nancy. So Nancy is responsible for Atlanta right now. I'm going to write that down so that we keep it in mind. Oh. And the orders count is 842. That means we have 842 orders in our main database. Now I'll just connect to this guy and run the same query.
So this is the SDF database, right?
Yep.
Sequestered Compact client database here.
The one that was synchronized in the previous demonstration. So now I'm connected to it. I run a new query against it. And I will just copy-paste the query I just used. Paste it here. So we're going to see Nancy, and I'll get rid of that. So first, the territory. We expect her to be responsible for Atlanta, right, since that's what we have on the main server. So since we just synchronized, we want the data to be the same. So again, Atlanta. The orders count now. Nancy has 126 orders in its local database. So you see here, that's really a filtered publication. 126. Okay, we'll just keep that here and come back to it later, see if everything goes as we expect. So moving on to the insertion of the second test session in the ZenForcing repository database. Again, I'll use the tables provided by ZenForcing. So there's one called SQL Server Execution that allows me to execute a SQL statement against a SQL server. And here I'll execute SPTechEd resectorize employees. Second thing, for the clients, I'll tell them, okay, execute this, this query here. You'll notice that here there's a parameter. ZenForcing allows me to specify one query for every one of them and just change the parameter I want to change. Okay. So I'll run that script, start the dashboard, start the test session. We'll take a look at what's going on ZenForcing 1, see the clients, and then we'll analyze the result. So hit F5. Sorry, I'm not on the good connection here. I was on the TechEd customer machine, so that's why there was no ZenForcing repository database. So hit F5, start the dashboard. This is my new test session called resectorization. I'll start it. Go to ZenForcing 1. And here are my clients, okay? One of them, maybe the first, maybe not the first, is responsible for the execution of the stored procedure. And the four others are just going to insert a new order on the local SDF files. Again, I've configured them to wait for 45 seconds so that I can talk to you. So we just wait, and when they're done, we'll analyze the results. Again, in a real-world scenario, you would not have to stare at the task manager, right? Okay, they're gone, all of them. Perfect. So before I go any further, I'll start the ZenForcing report. Go with the address. My credentials, I'll connect, search for my test session, which is in TechEd sessions, and it's called resectorization here. This is the one I just started, and I'll generate the report. I hit OK. So now, report's a little bit different. We have only one test server because it's not a test session that required a lot of performance, a lot of power in terms of processor. So we just had one test server. But we have two test scenarios. One was the order insertion executed by four clients, as you can see here. And the other one was resectorization scenario executed by one client. Again, here we have the average execution time. Of course, this time it makes less sense since it's not about the timings. On the error for each scenario, we would have errors. If I have misspelled a parameter, for instance, it would pop up here and I could rerun the test session after I fixed it. I don't want to save. So what I want to do now? Well, I want to make sure that this business activity was actually effective, okay? So remember, I just took the Nancy SDF file. I'll disconnect from the one on my physical machine. I'll delete it and bring it back again from the ZenForSync 1 machine. So copy it, paste it. So it's the same, but hopefully it has one more order in it, okay, because we performed an insert. But first, let's take a look at the server. I'll execute the same set of query, okay, on Northwind. And what do we want here? In terms of orders, we want nothing to be changed because we had insert, but they were on the SDF file, not on the main server. So if I run this, I still have 842, as I expect, okay? No magic here. On the territory side, it's a little different because remember, the stored procedure I executed was all about having the territories of the employees updated. So I don't want Nancy to be responsible for Atlanta anymore, which I misspelled. But I want her to be responsible for something else. So I'll just hit that, scroll down to Nancy. And here it is. Nancy is now responsible for Wilton and Newark. So I'll just write down Wilton. That's it for the server. We'll run the same query again on the local SDF file we just pasted from ZenForSync 1. So I'll connect. It's the same place. So connect to it. For the territories, we want it to be the same since there was no synchronization. So if I hit F5, again, Nancy is still responsible for Atlanta. The orders count is a little different because we performed one insert on the orders table. So we don't want it to be 126. We want it to be 127. So that's good. We have our new order here. Okay, so this is the second test scenario we executed. That's not the right button. Okay. So we inserted a new test session. I'm sorry, I pressed the SDI button on the... Hey, technical guy. Hello? No, that's good. Okay, sorry. No. It's okay, sorry. I pressed the wrong button here. So we inserted a test session. Just want to make sure you're not asleep, so that's fine. We created the test session that triggered business activity both on the server and on the subscriber side, okay? What we want now, we want to make sure our merged replication architecture is working properly and that we can synchronize and take changes into account. So what we want to do is basically restart a new synchronization at the same time for the 9 subscribers, okay? So what I could do is just rewrite the same test session I just wrote before, but I wrote it once, so I don't want to rewrite it, right? What I want to do is to duplicate it. And it's cool because it's a feature ZenForSync comes with. ZenForSync allows me to duplicate the test session I have already run. So all I have to do if I want to rerun a new test session, a duplication of a test session, is just call this stored procedure here. I give it the ID of the test session I want to duplicate, and it's going to make an actual copy of it, a copy that is ready to be run again on my architecture, against my merge replication architecture. So that allows me to start test session, run it, see how it goes, start tweaking my architecture, and then duplicate it, run it again, and see if my changes are good or not. So again, I'll run that. It will duplicate the test session with a new name, synchronization, after resectorization. So dashboard, start it, show you the virtual machines and the replication monitor, and analyze the results. So here, okay, I was about to make the same thing. So I connect to TechEd, ZenForSync repository. Hit F5, start the dashboard, view my test sessions. Synchronization, it's this guy. I'll start it. TechEd Z4S1, the task manager. Here are our little clients ready to synchronize. TechEd Z4S2, task manager. 5 clients here. And on the TechEd customer, we have the replication monitor ready to show us when these guys kick in. Again, hitting F5 for the 45 seconds I have configured. Longest 45 seconds of my life. Okay, that's it. Here they are. All of them synchronizing at the exact same time again. See, a little faster because this time they're not initializing, just synchronizing. So now it's gone. Let's see how it goes from the Excel point of view. TechEd Z4S1. Log into it. Connect. Search for my test session. Synchronization after resynchronization, it's that one. And generate the report. Sorry, generate the report. Okay. It's taking some time. Okay, it's done. Test scenario, 7 seconds now. We had something like 10 together the other time. No error. That's fine. I want to make sure that the data is actually synchronized, so I'll just, again, run some query on my server and on my local SDF file I'm about to copy-paste from ZenForSync 1. So I get rid of the old one, take the new one here, run the query on the server. For the territories, we don't want it to change. We still want Nancy to be responsible for Wilton. But remember, we had 4 more inserts. We have 4 clients inserting 1 order. So we don't want 842, but we want 846. So that means our synchronization is working properly. For the territories, we go and scroll to Nancy. And Nancy here is still responsible for Wilton, so that's nice. On the SDF file side, the orders, we still want it to be, oh yeah, I did not connect. So I'm just going to connect to a Davolio SDF file. Connect. And run the query. Run it again. Make sure. Okay, 127. We're good here. For the territories, we don't want it to be Atlanta, but we want it to be Wilton because that's the data at the server. So now we're good. We know our merge replication is working properly. So we've shown that we can see how long it takes if we have simultaneous synchronization at the exact same time, and we know we've shown that our replication architecture is working properly because it really synchronizes the changes we make. So that's it for the demonstration.
Oh. Thank you, Christoph. So what's next now? ZenForSync, you want it? You can get from here. OnCodePlex. OnCodePlex, we put ZenForSync so you can download it for free and go and play with it. So OnCodePlex, we will also post the scripts that Christoph has been using today. But there, you already have some documentation on how you should be using ZenForSync. Also, on the TechEd website, you can download all the slides. So don't worry if you don't have time to make notes of pointers here. You can download the deck. You want to get it? Go to CodePlex. You want a contact to have some more discussion and ask questions? Use this email address, and we'll get back to you. So what should you test? Well, we recommend you test your business scenarios with replication activated. Replication is an application on top of SQL Server. And the same way, you would like to evaluate how two of your applications would live side by side, we recommend you do that with replication and your application. We recommend you test with max number of subscriptions created. Testing a system with 2 subscriptions is a lot different from testing something with 2,000 subscriptions. So we really recommend you test your system at the size it will have at maximum that you can predict. We recommend you test at max concurrent synchronization. Concurrent synchronization is a situation where you have more than one subscriber synchronizing at the very same time. Again, it's a lot different business synchronizing 2 guys at the same time compared to 500 or 1,000 of them. So we really recommend you test your system the way it's going to be used in production, and then ZenForSync opens the door for you to do that. We recommend you test at max retention. Retention is the amount of time we keep metadata information in the system. Replication exchanges data on your behalf, but to do so, it keeps some additional information on your data. This is what we call metadata. Retention is the amount of time we keep this metadata information. The longer your retention, the more metadata you'll have. When you do that, you increase the flexibility you provide to your users, but you also increase the volume of metadata you store in the system. And whenever replication has to execute its logic, it has to parse a lot more data. So we recommend you test at max retention. And the way you can easily do that with ZenForSync is you reiterate your test session again and again. If you predict that your sales guys are going to take 10,000 orders in a month, you can scale on 10,000 execution of your test session, and pretty much you'll end up with the same amount of metadata that you'll have after 1 month of production. Also, we recommend you test the interaction between your ETL and OLTP application on top of replication. Usually in those offline scenarios that we're talking about today, we see that there is an ERP system in the backend that do massive import of data once in a while into the publisher database. And then you have synchronization. And those massive imports mean that the merge replication triggers are going to be executed many, many times. And this may interfere with the replication activity. So with ZenForSync and the capacity to execute MEF components, you really have the capacity to simulate what will be your real production activity before you go actually in production. So once you have done your test session, you may want to figure out how you're going to improve the performance of replication. So we're going to share some best practices here. So obviously, we will not have enough time today to look into them, but we recommend you go and read our documentation on replication in Books Online, the documentation of SQL Server, to learn about these. In addition, in the appendix section of this presentation that you can download, well, we have put some additional information and details that you may find useful around the evaluation of filters. So among all those levers that you can use to improve and optimize replication, if there is one that I would like to emphasize on, is the evaluation of filters. So let me tell you why. In these scenarios, as we've seen in the demonstration, the subscriber has a subset of the data that is on the server. To do that, replication creates filters on your behalf. The evaluation of the filter is typically where replication needs most of the power. SQL Server has 2 ways to evaluate the filters, one at synchronization time and one at the time you do the changes on the server. The first one at synchronization time, SQL Server replication system has to parse all the changes that were done on the system since this subscriber last synchronized. So it can be a lot of work. You multiply that by the number of concurrent synchronizations, and you have a lot of load on the system. This methodology is very friendly for the DML that you have on the server side, your insert, update, delete on the server, and puts some more work on the system when you do the synchronizations. On the other hand, we do have this methodology to evaluate the filters at the time you do the changes on the server. This methodology pre-creates the filtering infrastructure, the metadata information. That means that whenever the subscriber comes in to sync, well, the evaluation of the filters is already done. So the synchronization is going to be very fast. This method, on the other hand, puts more load on the system as you do your insert, delete, or updates on the server. The reason being that we thought that it is a lot more easy to adjust the configuration of a server. You can improve the disk, the CPU, the memory configuration, whereas you have little flexibility to change the capacity of a handheld device. You have very little capacity to increase the throughput of your GPRS or 3G connection. So it's a compromise that you need to find. And ZenForSync allows you to simulate your production on your test system before you go into actual deployment. So go ahead and activate all these best practices. This is the way you're going to get the best experience from your replication system. So what is the future of ZenForSync? It's you. You make it. You can go and install it, use it, share feedback, and spread the word that this tool exists. We need you. The reason being that the more feedback we receive, the more data points we get to take it forward. So we really count on you to go and use it. Five takeaways. First, we recommend you validate your replication behavior before deploying. Prepare the business scenario that implies usage of replication, your TransactSQL script that your application does, to plug that into ZenForSync. Use ZenForSync for all these scenarios and reiterate. And at each reiteration, you can go and adapt the configuration of replication or change the way you do your changes in your application or adjust your business processes, whatever. ZenForSync is here to provide you some capacity to iterate on your scenarios before you go into production. With that said, and before we move to question and answer, I would like to thank you for your attention and participation today. Don't forget to evaluate the session. You should be able to do that scanning this tag or through the links that you have on the description of the session on TechEd website. With that, thank you, but we can open up for question and answer. Yes? Well, the question is, do we think we can extend the current capacity of ZenForSync to other types of replication, like snapshot replication and transactional replication? The answer is yes. The way we build this prototype opens the door very easily to implementing it for other types of replication. We still need some more data points on how much usable it is and how much potential you guys in the field feel it can have so that we can promote the idea and get resources to get it done. But yes, there is nothing from a technical point of view that would prevent us from targeting any other type of replication. Another question?
Yep.
So the question is, in the case of a scenario where you have a republishing architecture, could we use that tool? I would say the answer is yes. We haven't tested it in such a way right now. We have reduced the scope to a two-level architecture, publisher and subscribers. But from a technical standpoint, that shouldn't be a big deal. Because as soon as we would need to have the capacity for this tool to synchronize to a regular merge replication subscriber, which usually is a second level of your republishing topology, and then we can open up for that. So it cannot do that right now, but from the technical standpoint, again, there is nothing that prevents us from doing it. If this is something that you think is key for you and is useful, please go ahead and share feedback on the ZenForSync website, on the CodePlex, or use the email address that we have provided. We keep track of all the feedback, and then we'll take that into consideration as we'll see what's next for it. Now, so the question is, does the tool take a lot of resources, overhead, CPU memory, these kind of things? So the answer is no. It doesn't take too much of a time. Well, that will depend on the scale of your testing, right? But here's the idea that all this testing you're going to do happens on your test system, on your test platform. So you can adjust that. And the nice thing with that is even if you go and you've chosen to go with only one test server and you see that it requires more load than it can cope with, then you can add a second test server or a third one, and then ZenForcing can scale out pretty much in a transparent manner so that you can adjust on the fly as you see the resources that it requires. Other questions? No? Well, then I suggest we wrap up and we get ready for the party
tonight.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you for your attention.
For being here.